Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Do 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 do. I'm also painting some cornmen for Shadespire, as they're going to be my tournament army.
So, oh, you're going to do corns for the Shadespire?
Yeah. I have faith in them. They're not popular. People don't think they're strong. I think they're wrong. I think people are building them wrong. From the lists I've seen online, from corn lists, I believe that people are trying to do the wrong thing with them.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, they're definitely killy. Like, you get a lot of victory points for killing. Hmm. And they're just not tough, and they don't get res. That's the problem. It's like when you got a... How many... Is it like a... Is the corn a 4 or 5-man band?
5.
It's a 5-man band?
Yeah, so you've got... You've got Arnulf, who's garbage. Targor, who's garbage. Then you have the 3 fighty characters. You've got Sake, Garrick, and... I can't remember this.
Jeff. His name's Jeff.
And Bill. Those are the killy characters. They're very... They do a lot of damage.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I would say is if, for some odd reason, I don't know about in the Skaven one, because I haven't gotten a Skaven warband yet, is if there's like some res cards that could bring those guys back, that would
there's not.
It would be infinitely.
The only resurrection infinite. Abilities that exist thus far in the game are on the leader cards for Shadespire.
The leader!
Skellabones and Skaven.
The leader!
The leader. And the Skaven one is very strong. You spend an action and you just put a dead Skaven on any starting tile.
Do you like this bean? Does this bean look like the leader? I'm going to put him with the other leader beans.
Beans?
The leader. I love that episode. It's one of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons. Very underrated. The one where Homer joins the cult.
I think over time, my favorite episode has now become the episode with Aurora Borealis.
The internet has just forced it upon
you. It just made it my favorite episode.
22 short films about Springfield. I believe that's the episode.
It is. It's when Bart and Milhouse are spitting over the edge of the overpass, and then they have a bunch of visions of thing. Because I believe, doesn't that episode also feature Nelson laughing at the guy, and he's "No march." like that's fucking great.
Do you find something funny about my height?
Like, comical about my appearance while I'd operate my automobile. Everyone needs an auto, and this is the largest I can afford.
It's true. It is that episode.
Now march. Yeah. Oh, look, everyone. It's that boy who laughs at everyone. Let's all laugh at him.
Yeah.
It's like a 20-foot tall dude in a little VW.
I love the episode with some folks will never lose a toe, but then again, some folk will likely is the slack jaw yoko.
Yes.
It's like, hey, Brandine, got you a pair of boots. They'll scuff up the dance floor. Or what is this? It's like, well, back up, back you go to find a woman of less discriminating taste. Hey, I can see my ma from up here. Hey, ma, get off the roof. Remember it was fun to make fun of rednecks before we elected them to the highest office?
Actually, it would be before they elected a goon to the highest
goob.
Office.
A goob. All right. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe. With me, as always, is Steve.
Hello.
We're like, T-minus 4 weeks away from a Derpticon?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got one more cast before.
And it looks like I'm actually going to be done with stuff.
We need to do something at Adepticon. I know you're going to be there, going to do a lot of gaming stuff, but at night, like, once you're done with the tournaments, we got to do, like we got to, at least on Friday or Saturday, we got to do a cast.
Well, you can get a big canvas, and we could draw tasteful nudes of people.
We could. I mean, I'm just saying that we should just record the cast there, and if people...
Oh, okay.
If people would like to come by and say hi to us during the cast and maybe ask us questions and maybe fondle Steve's genitals. It's a good way of getting plague rot, but...
I also don't think that... I think that would get us kicked out of the hotel.
What? Recording?
No, having my genitals fondled in the middle of public area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be the hotel. Are you getting a hotel there?
No.
I was going to say. It'll just be at
If it was in a private room, sure. Yeah, just have the door open. And it's like just like an inviting door open.
Yeah, the inviting door open would end up looking like The Shining with you fucking a guy in a bear suit.
All right. mean, if I could ruin someone else's Adepticon with that, it seems fine.
You know what? There's probably plenty of other worse people to ruin Adepticon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, during a 40K tournament, you might have a guy have a freak out, like Tony Grappando did.
No, he didn't have a freak out. He had a...
No, this is really funny, though. For those who don't know, during the Las Vegas Open, we didn't talk about this last cast, because I didn't really know about
it. It
happened at the Vegas Open,
okay,
yeah. And right before the last cast.
And you know what did you say? He was lambasted.
Oh, man. And the funny thing is that... Like, Steve and I know Tony. Like, we taught Tony how to play. Well, Steve probably taught Tony how to play more than I did. I just knew Tony.
Tony was always really good.
Tony was always really good. But he was always he was a little wiener kid who'd come by the bunker. And Steve and, like, Tim would teach him how to paint and everything else. But, yeah, he played at the Las Vegas Open. And he had a little bit of a... A comeuppance?
I don't know. So this is why having cash prizes for 40K is the stupidest thing ever. So the dude progressed too far in his turn. He basically started. He put like a unit down for a deep strike or something. I don't know what he did. He did something that was easily like, oh, let me just go finish this other stuff right now.
Yeah.
And Tony was like, no, you've progressed too far in your turn. Like you've done this. Like
you've moved past the movement phase.
Right, you're too far.
You are now in the...
You're in the shooting phase.
You're in the vagina
so
phase.
So you can't move anymore. Yeah. And it's just like, but... yeah, so like, that's basically what happened.
Yeah.
So while he didn't do anything that was against the rules, he just like... He was very... I guess this would be the unsportsmanlike conduct thing.
Which I think is bullshit. In all honesty, Tony, at least in that first round...
I completely support that action.
Because if you were playing a competitive game and someone
for
fucks...
For cash.
For cash. And someone fucks up, you don't let them take it back.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I mean... In a friendly, like if Steve and I were playing, well, actually, if Steve and I were playing a game, Steve would be like, that's not how it goes.
What I would do is I wouldn't say anything. And then when you started to try and do the wrong thing, I'd be like, what are you doing? Be like, what's going on there?
No, because usually with me, it's like, oh, fuck, I forgot.
Yeah.
I got to move this unit.
That's true.
It's like I play games with Dwayne all the time, and Dwayne will be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm like, well, it's fine. You can take that back. And he's like, no, I did it. I did it already. I'm like, it's fine.
I usually just agree. I'm like, man, you shouldn't have.
Well, yeah.
It's like, yeah, you shouldn't have.
Or like, but when I see him playing someone else and like someone else does it, I'm like, Dwayne, don't let them do that.
Yeah, but like that's why I would never enter a 40K or I would never enter miniatures tournament.
Is,
other than Shadespire, I would enter a Shadespire tournament.
Well, you
for
have
money.
Entered Shadespire. Oh, for money.
Yeah.
But the thing is with Tony is he did that. And then the very next game, he tried to pull the same thing.
It wasn't the same thing, but he tried to take something back. And the other guy was like,
similar,
the other guy was like, this is vengeance for the last round.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. It's funny, though, because it's someone we know.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, oh, hey, I know him. Good stuff.
I looked at his terribly painted miniatures.
His minis were always painted well.
They were painted well.
Yeah,
they weren't great.
Well, yes, they're not great. But you know what? He's winning games. He doesn't have time to paint great. You know what? let me tell you something. Anytime you see an army that's really great looking, that guy is always getting fucking destroyed.
What's that guy? GMM Miniatures, the guy who does out of Indianapolis.
I don't know.
He had the pirate empire.
Oh, right,
guys.
Right, yeah,
with,
yeah.
Beautiful, like the terrible list, but it was like beautifully painted.
Yeah,
that's the guy.
Yeah, as I said, anytime you see a fucking amazing looking army, they're always getting fucking destroyed because they've put all of their hobby time into painting well.
You know what? I'll stick by James Wapple. Jim Wapple, most of his armies, though they're very well painted, are actually pretty competitive armies. It takes them a long time to complete them, but they're fairly competitive armies from what I've seen. Yeah, it's not... I shouldn't say that they're greatly competitive. They're fairly competitive. I'll give him that on that one. But yes, if most of the time if you see a beautifully painted army...
That guy's losing.
There's a disconnect between the greatly painted and greatly played army.
Yes.
Tim Lyson, one of the few people I know who could put together an army that's beautifully painted and it will destroy you.
That's true, but Tim also paints really fast.
Yeah.
Like, much to my chagrin, I'm always just like, God damn it. Like, just like, oh, yeah, I painted this model overnight as a joke and won a Slayer sword. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Great. Thanks, Tim.
Speaking of, they're doing the Golden Demons again this year.
Yeah, five of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did them last year, too. But this year I'm actually paying attention to it, and they did they're all in the UK.
Go Holden Demon, you know. That's all.
Yeah, they're all in the UK. But I kind of like how they're doing it, though, because they're breaking up into, like, categories, like, or different. Each day is, like, a different, like, Golden Demon. Like, this is going to be all 40K stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be all Age of Sigmar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be all vagina stuff. I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
nice. Slaanesh.
Slaanesh. We could talk about that in a minute. But, yeah, they're all they're only doing it in the UK, though, because I think they're afraid to expand it out into other places, so the Brits realize that once again they're the worst painters out there.
Just gonna slow it down. Gotta ease it in.
Yeah,
they gotta ease it.
They don't
want
to get
in.
Destroyed by the. Well, I shouldn't take it back. Brits aren't the worst. That's the Japanese. The Japanese, but that's because all the great Japanese painters are doing like Gundam.
Yeah. They're all painting Gundams.
Yeah, I mean, like it shouldn't be that hard. You're a great Gundam painter. Just put together a fucking Tau Riptide, and they'll be like, "Wait a second, how come this model's $160 while my Gundam that's the equivalent size is only like $10?"
And my Gundam moves.
Yeah, that's the trade-off right there. Yeah, they and I'm not quite sure how that works on that one, but no more US game. But also the problem is like in the UK it's like, "Oh, we're doing the games day over in Oxford." And the person's like, "Oh, that's a 20-minute drive from my house. That's far away."
Yeah. Anytime I talk to anyone who's not from the U.S., when there's like, he's just a couple towns over, and I'm always like, "Fuck you!" Yeah. Like, U.S. sucks, man. We're like a million miles
from everyone. Well, it also sucks for at least Chicago wise, because Chicago is literally hours away from any other large city. Yeah. That's remotely equivalent. I'm not saying like Chicago is singular.
I mean, the biggest I might be wrong here, but the closest large city I can think of is probably Indianapolis, and that's 5 hours away.
Indy's not 5 hours away.
Indy's
3 hours
away. 5 hours away.
Okay, 5 hours.
Five hours away.
It's not that I drive it every summer, Steve. It's
5 hours away.
It's 3 hours.
That's still ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But Milwaukee, which is a large-ish city.
But Milwaukee's smaller than Indianapolis, isn't
it? Yeah, it's small. Well, they're about equivalent, I would say. Right. It's about an hour away.
I like Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Algonquin for the good land.
That's right.
It goes down in history. It's electing two socialist mayors.
All right.
Does this guy know how to party or what? Yeah.
We're not worthy.
Milwaukee is the thing I like about Milwaukee is that it's the place to go see a
bands,
a good concert that you don't have to pay out the ass for.
Almost all of the concerts I've seen recently have all been in Milwaukee.
A lot of the bigger shows that I've seen have been in Milwaukee.
I saw KMFDM there recently.
KMFDM?
Yeah.
Well, by recently, do you mean 2002?
No, like this year. KMFDM is still making CDs.
Yeah, I guess.
And they're still good. They've maintained a consistent quality like throughout.
I don't think you can. How can the quality degrade? It's just electronic.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, what was the song that
they actually have lots of songs?
I know, but what was the big one? The one that got real popular was
Juke Joint Jezebel.
It's coming for my cremation.
I believe that was launched into popularity because it was on the Mortal Kombat soundtrack.
Cause the salvation.
The Mortal Kombat soundtrack was almost all KMFDM.
Yeah.
Get over here.
But yeah, Milwaukee. I saw one of my favorite theaters of all time is in Milwaukee, and it's the Pabst Theater. I love the Pabst Theater. I played the Pabst Theater. The Pabst Theater. I did a show there once. I was in Pirates of Penzance. On the stage.
Did you sing
that
I am a very model of a major general?
I am the very model of a modern major general of information, vegetable, animal, and mineral.
Was that you?
No, that was not me.
Oh.
I was a freshman in college, so I didn't get the good parts.
I see.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum,
lame.
Bum, 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 bum. I am the very model of a modern major general of information, vegetable, animal, and mineral.
That's also
a
good episode of The Simpsons.
And then I put the vice historical from marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. Sir, that was the HMS Pinafore. Not the Pirates of Penzance. Get your operettas straight.
No.
Yeah.
I refuse. That episode of The Simpsons was good.
Yeah. Though they do Modern Major General on the episode where Barney and Homer compete to go into outer space. And Barney's like, "I haven't drinking at all. I am the very model of a Modern Major General." And then Homer's like, "There once was a man from Nantucket that hits the wall."
Yes. Yeah. And Barney's doing cartwheels at the same time. Yeah. I was like, the two fucking astronauts are singing the Star Spangled Banner. I was like, oh, Golden Grahams. Oh, those Golden Grahams. Crunchy Crispy Grahams cereal. Brand new breakfast treat. That's good.
Yes. That's the right stuff. I think, wow, what was the name of that episode, though? Whatever. Doesn't matter.
I don't know. I don't know how people remember the name of Simpsons episodes because it's never in the episode.
It's not like you lean over and go, that's the name of the episode.
Yeah, you can't do that. Like, I always thought that was weird. I was like, I always forgot that Simpsons episodes have names.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, that's right, because they're all, like, I guess now the names are probably on the DVDs and the Blu-rays.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I guess it's more, like, I guess it's more reasonable now. Yeah. But people knew back then the names of episodes. Yeah. And I'm like, how?
Springfield Files was what is I think my personal favorite.
Is that the one with Mulder and Scully?
Yeah, it's the X-Files one.
Oh, look at him jiggle. It's so hypnotizing. Kind of like a lava lamp.
It just has so many like dumb gags, like sight gags that I absolutely love.
Is that the episode that ends with Spock and Good Morning Starshine? Mm-hmm. Good Morning Starshine.
And by true, I mean false. But yeah, but I think I'd have to go with Marge versus the Monorail is probably like
Monorail.
when we went to Disney World and the Monorail was walking around and I just kept going like Monorail, Monorail.
Monorail.
And then one time, like, it went by and I went, Monorail! And the guy in front of me just started, like, bursting out laughing. And I was like, see, Diana?
Some people remember.
Or Last Exit to Springfield, which is the one where they go on strike. That's one of my favorite ones.
Mm.
You don't strike. You just do everything half-assed. Okay, back to gaming stuff. What the fuck else do I have
You'll get caught up in the Shade Spire. Shade Spire!
Shade Spire released the
Dwarves and the
Dwarves
Skavens.
And the Skavens.
Both fantastic releases.
The Dwarves have some... I haven't gotten the Skavens yet, so I don't know, but the Dwarves have some fantastic cards. I mean, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about card creep. Like, every subsequent release I've seen of this game has had better and better cards for the game. And I'm not quite sure how I feel about that.
I don't think there's anything that's actually quite outstripping. Because like I said, I'm still playing the original starting faction, and I think
Well, I'm not saying that the gangs are inherently better. I'm saying that even the generic cards
What they're doing is they're... one of the biggest things I noticed is that they're doing generics of formerly exclusive cards. So, like, for example, there's a Khorne card that only Garrick can have. And it's if he could be driven back, whether or not your opponent chooses to do so, you can instead push him a space. So you deny their ability to move him, and you get to move him a space instead. It was a very strong ability to put on Garrick. He was the only card that could do that. Now there's a generic one.
Oh.
So since it's a generic one that does the same thing, that's a super powerful ability that every faction now has access to. However, and this goes for all of the very strong generic cards that they're printing, Garrick can now have that upgrade twice.
Yeah.
So he can now push that ability even further. So it's like, oh, I get to move two spaces now. So that's pretty good.
Woo!
And so I feel that I don't feel too much too many issues with them doing the formerly exclusive cards as generics.
Yeah, I mean it's a
because anyone who had the exclusive card, you can just double up on it. Like, cool.
Yeah, I mean, and I haven't had a chance to really dig into the Skaven yet. I wonder if the cards are on the archive yet. I'll have to double check.
They are.
Okay.
Yeah, they're on the database. They got them up immediately.
Database. Database.
Put them in the database. Database.
I'm surprised they haven't done an app for Shadespire.
That was surprising.
They haven't done an app for Shadespire, and they haven't done one for 40K yet, for the new release of 40K.
No.
The Age of Sigmar app is fantastic.
It's a really good app.
And I don't even mind paying the buck a month for
it. Yeah, it's a dollar.
For the Army Builder.
The Army Builder's awesome.
Yeah, and it's like, well, how come this doesn't exist for 40K? Oh, that's right, because 40K has a shit ton of useless crap inside the system that they have to make crap for.
That's true.
That's my one problem with 40K and going over the new rules is just like, okay, now eliminate 50% of the stuff that exists for this game, and it'll be, once again, a fun game to play.
Mm.
You can't have this game where the Imperial Guard have 80 tanks. It just doesn't work that way.
But why can't they have 80 tanks?
Because it's stupid, Steve. It's stupid.
But they want the 80 tanks.
Anyway, other fantasy stuff. They previewed all the Marathi stuff, all the expense elves. It looks fine. It's going to be an ass expensive army. Are you kidding me?
I think I need to see the points before I determine if they're going to be super expensive or not.
It's dude, the box set alone for the
well, you get the box set that comes with 10 witch elves and the cauldron for a hundo.
Yeah.
Then you've got Marathi herself, who's 130, but you only ever need one.
Yes.
You can't, it's not like triple grade and clean one style.
Yeah. And technically, the Marathi, you have to... It comes with two figures.
Right.
But, yes, they only come with one on the board.
There's a $35 box of those chicks with, like, the weird masks.
Those are going to be... Wait, what?
There's an infantry unit that has these weird masks and whips.
No, that's a $60 box set. Because that's the opposite of the... That's the Sisters of Slaughter. It's the opposite side.
I saw something that was 35 bones on the product list.
It might be the ogre size.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Like the winged ladies.
Yeah, the winged ladies or the... But that will be five. They'll probably come in boxes of five for $35.
I need to see the points before I determine if it's going to be
actually
much more expensive than the average Age of Sigmar army.
More expensive than the average Age of Sigmar army. I mean, let me see. I could probably... I think I have it. Ha! Ha! Oh, no. No, no. Well, actually, and they've already started previewing the hints of the Undersea Dark Elves, or Dundersea Elves. Undersea!
The Dundersea Elves?
Dundersea Elves.
Yeah, I don't really know. So, it might end up being more expensive, but I think it'll probably end up being in line with most of the other Age of Sigmar armies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to Slaanesh's final review? Oh, they're saying that the undersea, the deepkin elves, as they're being called, are going to be probably high elves like the Lothurn Sea Guard.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the things I hear.
Is that are they going to have that other god that they revealed when they revealed the new elf pantheon? And they had that god on there that no one had ever heard of before?
They're called Indoeth. Indoneth Deepkin. Deepkin.
That sounds like some sort of treat.
Sisters of Slaughter are... Oh, fuck. On the sheet, all the point costs are, like, blanked.
Of course.
Someone put that on there so they wouldn't get in trouble for posting this.
Yeah.
Let's see. Blood Sisters are 140 points for five.
I mean, also, that's the first list I think I've seen where, like, you're always going to take the special character. Like, I don't think I would ever go to battle without her, unless she's, like, 1,000 points or something. But even then, I'd still probably take her.
So, it looks like the Witch Elves might be... So, they're minimum size 10, max size 30.
Right.
It's either going to be 300 or 3-something for the max.
Okay. So, one unit of 30, which you'll get in your... Because you're going to... I would imagine if I were going to just go out of nowhere to buy this army, I would buy two of the Cauldron box sets. So, that's 200. Then you got Marathi. That's 330.
Okay.
Then you would buy the Sisters box. So yeah, you're probably going to be in like $700. Like, that's an average Age of Sigmar army cost.
Not for me.
Yeah, because you already have a bunch of models. You can't count an army cost as going into your closet like, I'm going to put these models together. This army was $0. What a bargain.
That's where you're wrong, kiddo. That's where you're wrong.
It doesn't count.
Don't be upset. Eat some spaghetti.
Somebody touch my spaghetti. That's my favorite. I love it.
It's so dumb. It's so good. Like, why is that popular?
I don't know. It's shitposting. It's the internet. What do you want from me?
I don't know.
I don't control the internet.
Eating Tide Pods.
Somebody touching my Tide Pod.
It's a Tide ad. Yeah, I really don't have much else gaming stuff to talk about. You want to call it a 25 minutes?
Sure, let's roll. Let's go to the Museum of Science and History.
Oh, I don't have my I don't have my membership anymore.
Ah, we blew it.
Yeah, we blew it. We could go to the Field Museum.
All right, I love the Field Museum.
They took Sue down.
Did they?
Yeah.
Are they taking her to New York or something?
Sue goes to New York. No, they're taking Sue. They're putting her up in the actual dinosaur wing.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to
put... I love the dinosaur wing. It's cool.
They're going to put up a new, I think it's a Titansaur or something.
Mm.
A new dinosaur is going to be in there, which I find really funny because Sue is like the mascot of the Field Museum.
I wish they had a mummy set up to like a mummy with a sword and shield battling a dinosaur.
Like,
the ancient Egyptians fought off the dinosaurs.
I saw Black Panther this weekend. Great. Great movie. I mean, I shouldn't say great movie. It's a real good movie.
I saw Thor Ragnarok. I fucking love that movie. I was very surprised by how much I liked that movie.
Another Doug. Another day, another Doug.
Fucking, that stone guy was fantastic. Hello. Yes, me. Made of rock. So it's not a regular circle. It's kind of a freaky circle. That movie, I fucking loved that movie. Yeah. It was completely out of left field for me because I was just like, all right, whatever, I'll watch the other Thor movie. And I was just like, holy shit, I love this movie.
I love this movie.
It reminded me a lot of like Flash Gordon and like those kind of movies from the 80s. Like, Flash!
It's a miracle.
It reminded me a lot of the movies I liked as a kid.
Oh, yeah. My problem was all the stuff with Hela and Ragnarok shouldn't have been in the movie. It should have all just been Thor on
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, and
Jeff Goldblum world.
I still think my favorite part of that movie is where he's like, anywhere else I'd be thousands of years old, and here.
It just stops.
Oh, I love it. But yeah, they should have just left it as like just Thor and like the.
Why would you get the melting stick? They just they just interrupted me. It's not a capital offense. She's like, they got the stick. Oh yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I really love the Mark's Mothersboro synth soundtrack.
Oh yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah.
He's a guy that's Devo who did the soundtrack to that movie.
Whip it.
We are not men. We are Devo. Greatest name for an album of all time. But the, yeah, Black Panther is great. And that was just saying because of the Field Museum. It's like, I feel real sorry for people who are like seeing this movie and like, oh, Wakanda looks so great. And then they go to the Africa exhibit at the Field Museum and they're like, oh, lots of bad stuff happened in Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is
a dangerous and scary place.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Also, Wakanda is not real other than unless you count Wakanda, Illinois.
Yeah. And no one wants to go to Wakanda, Illinois.
Probably not.
Yeah. They keep on saying in the movie, The King of Wakanda. And I'm like, isn't that Dan Aykroyd?
What?
Dan Aykroyd. He talks about Wakanda and Ghostbusters.
Oh, does he?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was present at a mass sponge migration.
Ray, the sponge has moved 5 feet. Let's see. Who's famous from Wakanda, Illinois? In popular culture, the Blues Brothers mention it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fucking love the Blues Brothers. That was a movie I didn't like as a kid. And then once I got older and rewatched it, I was like, oh, this movie's great. I was just too little for it.
Famous residents of our community. Robert Zemeckis is from Wakanda. Well, he's from Lakemore.
Oh, nice.
Okay, let's see. Brent Sherman, professional race car driver. And Justice Bangs, the village founder.
Justice Bangs?
That's his name, Justice.
That's a
Bangs.
Fucking porn name if I've ever heard one. Like, yeah. Like
it's got Chrissy Cassidy and Justice Bangs. What was the name of George's porn star name from Seinfeld?
I don't remember.
It came up in trivia the other night, and I could not think of it for the life of me.
I don't remember.
Like it's
that's a good trivia question.
Yeah. Because the question, it was during the trivia. They had people sing.
Is it the one from? Well, that's the thing. Does he have more than one porn star name? Because there's the episode where Elaine is playing at being a porn star when she's being recorded by Kramer. And she's like, this is my co-star. Is it that? I assume it's from that episode, but I don't remember. It's been a while. I haven't rewatched Seinfeld recently, so my Seinfeld trivia is...
Buck naked.
My Seinfeld trivia is degrading.
Yes, it's buck naked.
It's leaking out of my ear.
Because the other part of the trivia was, they had people go up and see if they could sing the... Believe it or not, George isn't at home.
Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out or I'd pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
So stupid.
I fucking love it. And the best is he's eating popcorn and like just dancing, listening to himself sing.
I was watching the video of where they're talking about the the marine biologist story. It's such a brilliant...
They're here, marine biologists!
It's such a brilliant, like, bit of comedy because they didn't have that ending, the story. They wrote it the day before. They filmed it, and they went to Jason Alexander and, like, you know, would you feel comfortable doing this last minute? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, I'm a professional actor. I can do these things.
Pulled out the obstruction.
And, and just the way that they did it, and, like... Because Jerry's sitting there going, like, I'm looking at him in shock because I can't believe that he's memorized this entire thing, and I'm edging him to go on and keep going with it because he's doing so great with it. And then he pulls out, he's like, he reaches the coat and pulls it out.
And pull out the obstruction! Is that a title?
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant piece of, like, serious. And it, people will study that in terms of comedy in the future. That's like, good. I always talk, like my parents or my grandparents would talk about Carol Burnett doing Gone with the Wind, where she'd come down the stairs and it, like they say, like, that's the epitome of comedy. Or Lucy with a chocolate factory. Mm-hmm. Like, no, the marine biologist story in Seinfeld is my key moment of comedy history. It's about timing, it's about inflection,
delivery. It's good.
Like an old man
trying to send soup back in a deli. The sea was angry that day, my friends.
Like, old man.
I love Seinfeld. It's so good.
I shouldn't say it doesn't hold up, because it holds up for people like me and you.
Well, some of the early stuff doesn't age well, because it's like, there are like the payphone episode and stuff.
Well, it's just that it's very, very dated. It's very 90s. Like the whole thing with the parking garage.
Hey, no, that's legit, because they wouldn't be able to find their car, because the GPS doesn't fucking work in a parking garage.
Wow. It doesn't even matter at this point. Like, there's a lot of that waiting for the Chinese dinner. That works, because it's still, but everyone's still wearing that.
Seinfeld? Four? Did someone call for me? I say, Blunfeld. You, no one say anything. She swear. I hang up.
She swear. I hang up. You know what? I did bring something today for you to take a look at.
Tasteful nudes?
Tasteful nudes. I found this. In my game hunting,
what is the fuck, the highest level of all fantasy wargaming? What is this?
It's a book from the early 80s. I think it's 81 or 82. It's a rule book for fantasy wargaming.
Deeper dungeons, more dangerous dragons, fantasy combined with never before explored logic for expert players. Here in Fantasy Wargaming is an invaluable guide with complete playing rules and sections on monsters and magical beings, cultures, myth, and religion, character generation, role-playing, spells, warrior tables, motivations, and index, and more.
I was reading through the book. It is the most tedious rule games manual I've ever read in my life.
Is it an RPG?
It's like a mix of RPG and mini gaming. I can't describe it more than that. It's like someone took a historical war game and like added all of this like fantasy role playing into it.
So what is fantasy wargaming?
It's a bunch of unwashed 20 somethings get together. Unwashed 12 to 20 somethings get together. And put a bunch of little painted figures on the table, sometimes unpainted, sometimes poorly painted, and they move them at each other and roll dice for something or other.
That's not what this says.
No.
Oh my god, there's so many charts.
I know.
Why?
This is like a 400-page book.
Higher powers.
300-page book.
Oh, higher powers. It has stats for God.
For God.
God's astrological controller is Leo.
Oh, well, there you go.
Special note, special characteristics notes. Three persons can operate independently. Areas of disfavor. Rebellion.
God doesn't like rebellion?
They only gave God an intelligence stat. His other stats are question marks. His rank in host is 9. His resistance to His resistance to appeals is 7, which is quite high according to these other deities. Then he has Virgin Mary. Her astrological controller is Virgo. Her combat level is only 10.
Virgin Mary has a combat level of 10?
She's a combat level of 10.
Well, how high does combat level go up to?
Well, God's combat level is 24.
Oh, well.
And it is the highest. But Virgin Mary has a higher combat level than Andrew,
Matthew, Mark, and Luke,
James the Less, John the Baptist. She's got three levels higher of combat level.
So
than
what
John
you're
the
saying
Baptist.
Is that if the Virgin Mary fought John the Baptist,
she'd kick his ass.
She'd be well. I mean, she wouldn't kick his ass, but I mean, she would definitely have the advantage.
She'd kick his ass. Three levels is a huge difference.
Well, I guess.
Now, Gabriel has a combat level of 21.
Well, yeah, he's an archangel.
He's got a physique of 33.
Whoa, but there's a physique score in this?
There's a physique score. You got intelligence, endurance, agility, physique, mana, magic level, faith, resistance to appeals, and rank in host.
This is just way too much.
And John the Baptist, he's got 336 mana, so don't fuck around.
But it costs.
Does this have Jesus of Arimathea's stats? I guess he would just be wrapped up in God because it does say that he's three persons and can operate independently.
Yeah, so it'd be Jesus.
Yeah, so he'd be in there.
Well, Jesus of Arimathea, that doesn't make any sense. It'd be
Joseph
of Arimathea.
Here you go. Sebastian, areas of interest. It's just Sebastian, Sagittarius. I don't know who that is. But his areas of interest and patronage are archers, soldiers, homosexuals. It's right here. Then we got Lawrence, who's got alms, beggars, and the poor. What a weird fucking book. Also, this like this large chart of Judeo-Christian things,
characters,
is on a big chart, and it's so anyone who's done an RPG book probably knows this. So you know how you normally hold a book? We'll say the normal way to hold a book is hot dog. We'll say it's hot dog.
Okay.
So you pick up a book, hot dog. You have to rotate the book, and now we'll say that's hamburger.
Okay.
This is a chart that you have to read hamburger style.
Hamburger!
The most fucking obnoxious way to do charts, because it's completely alien. You have to hold the book like an asshole, and you open it up, and you're like, oh, look at this fucking chart. This could just be, the way it's written out, it could easily be on just two pages,
on hot dog,
normal fucking profile. But nope, you got to rotate the fucking book like an asshole. And now you're like, ah, jeez, how am I going to find Great Joseph's stats now?
I got to find Joseph.
Yeah, we got stats for Raphael, Andrew, James the Great, James the Less, John the Baptist, Jude, Peter, Philip, Paul, Thomas, Matthias, Bartholomew, Anthony, Augustine, Christopher, Francis of Assisi, George, Gregory the Great, Joseph of Arimathea, man, he's only got a combat level of 6, which means the Virgin Mary would beat his ass.
Well, yes, okay, I'll give it at that point, like a 10 to a 6.
Oh, that's fucking good. Oh, man.
Joseph of Arimathea,
right here.
Well, he's the one who took who buried Jesus in his tomb.
He's got an endurance of 24,
and then he's the one who supposedly took the Grail to France.
The Grail. Do you seek the Grail?
I showed my daughter Holy Grail. Finally, she didn't quite get it. I don't think she found it as funny. However, just the other day we were watching The Simpsons and they made a reference to the Knights of Knee, and she was like, "Oh, it's like from the movie." I was like, "Okay, good. Something sank in at least.
It's just like the movie."
Yeah, this book was ridiculous. But
Lucifer has a combat level of 24. And he can mobilize up to 5,000 undead.
Well, you know, that'd be quite a legion. I love books like this. I love having really weird, obscure 80s wargaming rules, especially if they're like in a nice hardcover like this.
It's so fucking weird.
I don't know what to say about it. Like
Barbetus.
Because there was so many that were like produced that no one ever even knew about. It's real fun to find stuff like that.
Oh, this was published in Chicago.
I know. I saw that. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, and it's not like a shitty produced piece of material. It's hardcover. It's got a real nice cover to it. It's got art.
I will say it's almost all text.
It's wall to wall text.
Just like it's like
well,
it's,
that's all it was. That's
it's
all.
It's like a fucking chemistry book.
Well, that's all wargaming rules were in the '80s. They didn't put pictures of figures because they didn't have figures to play. I mean, you'd have
mana
like
limits.
You'd have occasionally have like a chainmail figure in there, but most of those were you'd get sued for putting them in your rule book. You know, maybe you might be able to draw, like...
They got some diagrams of deploying your archers.
That's nice. You might have, like, your one friend who would draw, like, wizards and stuff while he was stoned in study hall, draw some pictures for your rule book, but that was about it.
Nice. Wizards.
Wizards!
Oh, this is you can tell this is super old school wargaming because there's a gaming master.
There's a gaming master.
Yeah, morale should be tested in the following circumstances by the gaming master.
Ah.
So this is a classic wargaming that I'm sure most of our listeners probably don't remember or have ever seen. But back in the day, I say as a bunch of our listeners, I think, are older than me.
Yeah.
But old wargaming, they had a game master. So it would be like, well, you and I would be versing and we'd have Dwayne would be our games master. Yeah. And he'd be like the arbitrator to make sure that things are going all right.
Again, it would be awful because he'd be like, it's all right, Steve, you can move your guy back. I understand.
Thanks, like, Dwayne.
God damn it.
Much to your chagrin.
Oh, I get so pissed. Be so pissed. No, because they still do that. Like, you go to any historical convention or anything where they're doing that sort of thing, or games that you're not quite familiar with, or if it's a non-tournament game, there's going to be a GM. Mm. There's just going to be.
Well, the old ones, like, required it. Like, no matter what, you had to have it because they would arbitrate and do stuff. Like, and I could see that being kind of cool. Like, if I were going to do it from a modern standpoint to make, like, a three-player war game, I would probably give the GM, like... a specific number of actions to take to make, like, to spice shit up. Like, yeah. They'd be like, you know, like, and now the wind is blowing.
Well, that's something that, like, we're going back to what we first talked about with the Las Vegas tournament is how come there wasn't a table judge at one of those final games?
Yep.
There should have been a table judge there who they could immediately have gone, hey, and then the table judge could have been
Well, if I were the judge...
I mean, because this wasn't like a...
Like, if I were the judge and they called me over, I'd be like... They'd explain the situation to me, and I'd be like, opponent's discretion. Like, Tony, do you want to let him do this? And Tony would be like, no. And he'd be like, sorry. Like, that's
the rule.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that. Well, it's not even that.
Because you can't force someone to make... regardless of if you consider it slimy or scummy, you cannot force someone to let you take a move back.
Yeah.
Like, that's absurd. Like, can you imagine, like a fucking pro chess player being like... Ooh, can you let me slide that bishop back? Be like, no, well, checkmate, bitch.
Well, as I say, I completely agree with you. Tony took it a little out of hand, but I agree with you. And if you're playing, like, this was like a semifinal round. This was like the round before the final.
I believe it's because it was deployed as like a gotcha. Like, he waited for him to, like, progress and then be like,
But even still, though, the guy fucked up.
Yeah, he made a mistake.
He made a mistake, and it was
when there's fucking that's the thing. That's why that's why a game as nebulous as 40K and Age of Sigmar should never be played for cash. There's too much. Like, if you
what about for boners?
Sure, you can play for boners. but if you want to make the only Games Workshop game that I think is, like, cut and dry enough to be, like, a cash competitive game is Shadespire.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's...
Because it's a card game.
It's a card game.
You know, it's very... There are miniatures, yes, but...
The only thing that could be anywhat nebulous with Shadespire would be dice rolls, and even then, if it's cocked, you have to reroll it.
And then, like, and rules tests, there's many FAQs, and you could have a judge, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's not like...
I mean, I wouldn't play Shadespire for money because it's a fun game. And as soon as I start playing games for money in, like, actual competition, the game stops being fun because I'm just like, I just get salty. I'm just like, fuck! Like, if I make a mistake, like, I really beat myself up about it. Fucking 40, like, they were talking about in that tournament where, like, no one was finishing their games. Everyone was making, like, 2.5 turns.
Yeah, everyone was taking way too long.
Because, well, they were also playing huge fucking armies. There was, like, there was Imperial Guard blob armies that were just designed to run the clock down because you just move your figures. That's a bullshit valid strategy. Like, I have so many models. I've brought so many models. Just moving my army will deny you 3 turns of this game.
Yeah,
that's fucking insanity. And like, and how can you play a game like that for money? Like, it's ridiculous. So that's my piece on playing workshop games for money. I think tournaments are great. I think tournaments are super fun.
The Las Vegas Open should be a 3-day tournament where each day you play one game.
Yeah,
and that's it. And then you go from there.
But, I mean, I think tournaments are great. They're super fun. They're an awesome way to meet people, see cool-ass armies. I think taking them super seriously is not a thing that you should do.
No, not at all.
I also really liked the when they had that delineation before, where it was like, this is a gladiator tournament. So like, if you want to try hard and be like, I want to fucking win the shit out of this game, you have a tournament.
What about an Iron Man tournament?
wasn't that just gladiator?
I thought the Iron Man was when they broke your models. Remember that one?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
And then they like, I think, didn't the higher ups like, didn't GW say like, you can't do
that? Yeah,
this?
They were like, don't do that. Like, don't cut that out.
Because yeah. if you lost the model, it would break it with a hammer.
It, yeah.
Yeah, that was yeah, that's
an expensive tournament.
Expensive ass tournament. I think it was like, though, if you won, though, you got like decent prizos. But yeah, I agree. I think tournaments are like that are silly. But I also think that if like Hordes, there should be a time. There should be a death clock.
Yes,
there should always be a death clock. Because if you can't finish moving your army by the time that the death clock goes
down, you
lose. Period. Yep.
So it would force, because you could easily do it. It wouldn't actually be it wouldn't be a detriment to an Imperial Guard army. They would just need to use a movement tray.
Yeah,
that's all.
And they would need to, you know, it really puts a damper on like. The moving problem.
The stall strategy.
Like, because it's very easy to do when you could say, like, okay, we have this game is blocked for 3 hours. It's going to be 6 turns. Each turn, like, each opponent is going to get 30 minutes. Or it's going to be 6 turns. Each opponent's going to get 15 minutes to do their turn.
Mm.
So go ahead, get at it. You're going to do your 15 minutes. You get your 15 minutes. And we're going to go from there. And if you can't get your turn done in 15 minutes... You're done.
I would just go to the full death clock. You have so if it's 3 hours, you have an hour. You have an hour and a half on your clock.
Oh well, yeah, that too.
Everyone's got each player has an hour and a half on their clock.
Yeah.
Like, just make it a death clock. You know, you got it.
Well, I don't think that would work that well. I think 15 minutes, dude. Like that would be the best, because that way, because with the pure death clock where you get an hour and a half. Well, let's say after the first turn, you know, you've already used your hour and a half.
You lose.
Yeah, you lose.
If your turn took an hour and a half, you deserve to lose. If your first turn took a fucking hour and a half to play, you should not be at that tournament.
Oh, man.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah. No, it should be like, I think it's a 15-minute per sequence, I mean, per turn.
But that's way harder to track than just giving you a full time. Just
no,
like
it's not.
Because
you can easily do it with a time clock. You get 15 minutes.
But the problem with that is... There's a lot more, like, the reason it works so well with War Machine and Hordes for like having a quick play like that is because on your opponent's turn you do nothing in those games.
Yeah, you don't do anything in fantasy either.
You do. You make saves.
Oh, I guess you would roll. But I mean,
that means I would have to do all my wounds, stop my clock, and then you would have to start your clock to roll all your defensive saves.
Yeah, I could see that. But rolling saves is not always going to take up that much extra time.
I mean, when you lose a tournament because you're down 2 minutes, like, that 2 minutes was probably your opponent just rolling on your turn.
Could be.
And that's
I could see that. I could see that. I would say
you would just need a way to do it, and it would be like you'd have to generate all of your wounds, stop your clock, they'd start their clock, roll their saves.
You could also say, what I'm saying is that you when you do your 15 minutes though, you'd have your clock, and then when you have to roll, you click your clock, and so if your turn sequence, you have to build in time afterwards to make sure that you could roll for your that you could roll for that, and you could bank your time too. This is how we do it. We come up with a solution, and then boom, there you go. So you don't have time for people fucking around at the Las Vegas Open, which is considered to be one of the like premier gaming tournaments.
And no one finishes their games.
And no one finishes their fucking games. I mean, let's be honest though. The tournament atmosphere in the U.S. has gone down quite a bit. Like, there's nowhere near as many tournaments as there used to be. Most tournaments have gone back to Magic. Like, people have just been... The Magic tournaments are still crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain, a couple other card games I heard about.
There's card games all over the place.
Yeah. But the mini game tournaments, like, no one's doing War Machine Hordes tournaments anymore because no one's playing War Machine
Hordes.
Yeah,
no one's playing that game.
I had a...
It sucks.
One of my...
They fucked it up.
One of my buddies was like, I'm going to try and sell my Signar army on eBay.
Good
luck on that. And he goes, you think I can get $200 for it? I'm like... Well, how much do you have? And I'm like, it doesn't even matter because it's like the time to sell your War Machine Hordes was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's gone.
That's when I sold mine and I made $100 off the Kador that I had, and I was thank God I did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, yeah.
War Machine Hordes is fucking dead, man. They killed it. Third edition was like,
yeah, they killed it.
They fucking made a noose and they hung themselves.
Yeah. Is there any other games, like newer games, that we should be talking about on this cast?
Because not out yet, but there's the Fallout miniatures game coming out.
Yeah,
That looks like it's going to end up being pretty big.
I think it's going to be a flash in the pan.
I don't know. I mean, Fallout's fucking huge, and I would normally agree with you, except for the fact that the Fallout board game is like monstrously huge.
By the way, I was at Half Price Books and I saw a copy of Scythe for sale, so we know nice. That's out there. You know, it's not that hard to get anymore.
Oh, it's hard to get.
Oh yeah,
can assure you, it's still very hard to get.
Oh.
But like the Fallout board game is fucking huge, and like the IP is like, I didn't actually realize how gigantic the Fallout IP was until I started seeing how many people were looking for Fallout stuff that isn't the game, and I was like, oh, it's actually really big. So I think the miniatures game is gonna do something.
There's a huge like cosplay Fallout cosplay. Yeah.
I don't think the miniatures game is gonna be huge in the sense of like a let's bring in battle miniatures game, but I think a lot of people are gonna play it.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people are gonna play it like a board game.
Well, I mean, like what James was talking about last time with doing a Fallout RPG, I could see those minis being really popular for a Fallout RPG.
They'd be perfect for Fallout RPG, and there's a fuck ton of terrain. They're doing the Red Rocket Garage from Fallout 4. Right? Yeah, it looks fucking awesome. And the models look great. That's one of the things that I really like, is the models look very, very good.
Well, let's see the models when they come out.
Well, okay, the renders look great.
Yes, the renders look great. But we've seen many a game where the renders do not.
But it's Modiphius. Like, their stuff's good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them like drop
they
the
did,
ball yet.
They did
Dark Souls.
Did they do the Trek stuff?
Oh no, Dark Souls not Dark Souls. They did Modiphius did the Trek stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Trek stuff is all right from what
yeah,
I saw.
It's good.
It's not great, but it's very realistic looking.
Steamforge is the one that did Dark Souls. There's the Dark Souls card game coming up. That looks like that'll be fun. Probably better than the board game.
Yeah. What I think we need to do for Adepticon coming up is, I mean, this isn't like what we should do in 4 weeks.
Get our togas.
This is yes.
I still want to do. I still want to do the dandy fop.
Yes.
Oh, playing with dwarves. How garish.
Gooch. No, I. What we need to do is we need to start turning Adepticon more towards RPG stuff. We need to start doing some more RPG stuff at the Adepticon.
Do they ever do any RPG
stuff?
No,
they don't do any RPG stuff at Adepticon.
Yeah,
Adepticon is like
it's almost
pure minis with board. There's a lot of board game stuff that happens.
Okay.
But not like the board game stuff like we're gonna play Settlers of Catan. No, it's more like we're gonna play X-Wing or we're gonna play Rebellion. A lot of Fantasy Flight stuff.
Mm.
It's going to be all Legion this year because Legion is getting released on the 22nd, and that's what it's going to be. I keep on trying to tell people, Legion is going to suck. Do not invest in Legion, please. But people just don't listen because they're like, Star Wars!
It's going to say Star Wars.
It's going to say Star Wars. I'm sorry, guys. It's like, you could get as excited as you want about Star Wars Legion. It's just not going to do anything.
I said it. It's got a year shelf life tops.
I'll give it two.
I think it's got, a legit shelf life year tops.
Yeah, I say it's got about 2 years worth of releases. And it's not going to be good.
A two faction miniatures game can never live. That just doesn't work unless it's a game like X-Wing where the shit is fully painted and you need like three models.
Yeah.
Then you can do two factions, and X-Wing technically has three factions, so it's not even a two faction game.
So what about Scum and Villainy?
Well, apparently they were the best for a while. So you actually have to say what about?
Well, Steve, obviously you never played against Prince Shizor's ship.
Shizor doesn't have a ship yet, I don't think.
He does.
Does he?
Yeah, okay. He's got his like sun
that weird X thing.
Yeah, that yeah.
Yeah.
You've never played this game because you would know Prince Shizor had his ship available.
I definitely don't.
Yes.
I would not.
Or any of the bounty hunter ships, including Forlom and Dengar's ship.
Forlom and Dengar? Why would they have the same ship?
Well, they traveled.
It's Forlom and Zuckuss.
Oh, was it Forlom and Zuckuss?
Yeah, Forlom and Zuckuss.
Oh, okay.
Dengar's ship was the punishing one.
Was the punishing one?
Yeah, it's okay. like a crescent moon. Yeah. Forlom and Zuckuss were in, I don't remember what their ship is.
Forlom and Zuckuss, and then was Dengar and
Dengar's in punishing one. IG-88 is in the IG-2000.
Yeah.
Bossk is in the Hound's Tooth.
Yes.
Boba Fett obviously is in Slave One. And then I can't remember Zuckuss and Forlom's ship. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
I know what it looks like. It's like a weird rectangle with like, I can't describe it.
You might be thinking of the Hound's Tooth.
No, the Houndstooth is like a huge ass brick.
Yeah.
The Forlom and Zuckus ship has somewhat brickish, but it has
it's got claws.
Claws.
Yeah,
right.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I remember that from the old Decipher game.
Yeah. So, but I can't for the life of me remember what the name of their ship is.
Yeah.
The Fortunate One? I don't know.
Oh, man. That's Star Wars. Goddamn.
Billy D.
Because Rebellion is pretty much, not Rebellion. Rebellion. Armada. That's not Rebellion.
Armada.
Armada is the one that's kind of on the downswing right now.
Yeah, I don't think.
I know they're still making ships for it because they just made.
I think Armada's pretty.
It's a solid idea, and the minis are great.
I think Armada's better than X-Wing, personally.
Yeah.
And if I were going to play one of those games, I would definitely play Armada. But I wouldn't, because Armada's way less popular than X-Wing.
The problem with Armada is always, and will always be, that Star Wars IP is not designed around the Empire and the Rebellion getting into naval combat, because the Rebellion is far too small and cannot afford to get into naval combat
with the Empire. They also need to run away constantly, because the Empire outguns them by
a huge margin. Have we not learned anything from The Last Jedi?
I mean, the Empire has fucking Star Destroyers. What the fuck? Oh, you got a Mon Cal Cruiser? That's cool. I got 20 fucking Star Destroyers. Like, I want an Imperial.
And now we have the Holdo maneuver, which is just, let's just put a ship into it in hyperspace and ram it into all your ships.
I want an Imperial officer at one point to just be like, what the fuck do you have? A Mon Cal Cruiser? Look how many goddamn Star Destroyers I have. Fucking surrender. Like, look at it. Look at all the Star Destroyers. Look at them. There's like 20 of them. Big ass fucking flying metal pizzas. I'm going to shove them up your ass.
Lieutenant Steve, can I speak to Captain Joe for a second? Captain Joe here. Did you happen to hear what your lieutenant's saying? No, I'm sorry. I was in the bathroom. What's going on here, sir? He told me that.
Fucking Star Destroyers.
Oh, is that him in the background? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's just Steve. It's fine. And we can keep fighting if you want, but we do have 20. He is right. I'm gonna say that the way he presented himself,
this one's got a super fucking cannon.
The way that he presented himself was quite wrong. I mean, really, that's not what the Empire's all about. But he is right.
Goddamn lasers! Where the fuck is Vader?
Steve, we're on the other side of the galaxy. We haven't seen Vader in like 30 years, and the last time you saw him, you were like, hey, Vader, how's Padme? And then he kind of force choked you for a minute, and then he got distracted by
erection.
By your erection. And that's why we're stationed out here in the ass end of the galaxy, just to let you know that that's what's going on here. God damn it, Steve. God damn it.
You see me in a fucking Empire officer's uniform? Oh, that'd be good.
I think we got put here because you asked Vader who he would fuck, marry, kill, Padme, or Padme.
Oh, wait, you already did all three.
Exactly. No. And then he cried. You made Vader cry, Steve.
I didn't feel bad. That guy's a bitch.
All right.
Kick him right in his metal balls.
Go to planetarbitrary.com for your planetary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at planetarbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Command Throw.
Like your Facebook page, / Game Classy Podcast. Best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. You can listen to our sister casts. You can listen to Game On Podcast, Play On Podcast, which is all about playing the video games. What video games are you playing now, Steve?
I'm still playing Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball.
It's really good.
Are you gonna get Assassin's Creed Origins just so you can
I already own it. I bought that game on launch.
Oh, so you could go.
It was Egyptian. So you had to buy it.
So you could go to do all your tours of Egypt.
Yeah. Well, is that like that was the thing that was really funny, because when that game was previewed, I was like, oh, another Assassin's Creed game. Who cares? And I was like, it showed the pyramids, and I was like, fuck, I have to buy an Assassin's Creed game.
Well, yeah.
And I did.
But have you tried doing the tours?
I haven't. I want to, though.
Because I was watching some of the walkthroughs of it, and you could pick any skin you want to be your character. So you could be Julius Caesar touring Egypt.
That's fucking sweet.
Yeah. I mean, there's no combat to it.
Right. That's fucking sweet.
Yeah. So, there's that. You also have Deconstructing Daycare, where they talk, where Pat and
Caillou. Talk about Caillou.
Where they talk about Caillou. And other shows like that. And we have Comic Book Logic, which is coming out this week with our review of Black Panther. Just what everybody wanted to hear. Two white guys from the Midwest talking about how important Black Panther is. So you can look forward to that. And we also have Weeb Town, where Steve and Young Giuseppe are going to be playing Dragon Ball for about 4 months.
Yeah, it's pretty much all we've been doing. Just playing Dragon Ball.
It's like, this is Goku. Goku...
Look out, it's Goku.
Look out, it's Goku.
There's a lot of Gokus.
Vegeta.
There's too many Gokus.
Is this a Vegeta? Who's everyone playing in the game, Steve? Everyone playing Trunks?
Trunks is pretty popular. It's kind of funny. Most of the really popular characters are just like the ones who aren't Yamcha, Krillin.
You're playing as Boo? You're playing Boo as Boo?
I'm not playing
Boo.
Giuseppe plays Boo. Fat Boo.
Okay, Fat Boo. I'm trying to name off all the Dragon Ball characters I know, and I don't know many.
You pretty much got them all.
What about Android 18? Is she on there?
Yeah.
Is that the number? Did I get it right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, 17 is the dude who heard their brother and sister.
Yeah. Or are they?
Well, yeah, they are. She bangs Krillin, so. And 17's got his own wife.
Yes, and
but yeah, it's a Dragon Ball is part of the zeitgeist. Like you, even people who don't like anime like Dragon Ball.
Well, it's not that people who don't like anime like Dragon.
People
Ball.
Who aren't into anime
people
like
who,
Dragon Ball.
No, people who aren't into anime at least know Dragon Ball.
Right, right.
Like we are aware that Dragon Ball exists.
No, there's definitely people I know who don't watch any anime
well,
other
are,
than Dragon
but I'm
Ball.
Just, I'm saying when you say zeitgeist, it's like Pokemon in a lot of ways, where it's like
right.
Even I have nothing to do with Pokemon. I don't care about Pokemon.
You know who Pikachu is.
I know who Pikachu is. Yeah. I'm aware of Ash.
I know who Jigglypuff is.
He wants to be the best.
With the very best. Like no one ever was.
Yes, exactly. Like there's a couple things. Like I'm aware of most of the anime that's made it past the Great Filter. Like Sailor Moon.
Attack on Titan.
Oh, I'm aware of that more because of you than anything else.
Attack on Titan was fucking huge. Like you, even if you didn't know me, you would have heard of Attack on Titan.
Yeah, probably. I probably wouldn't have cared that much to learn much about
it. It's a good show. Yeah. I'd actually recommend it.
Did you see the Olympic skater who did the Sailor Moon routine?
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, that was. But it wasn't from this year. It was from like a previous year.
No, I thought it was from South Korea.
No, it was from some other skating event.
Well, it was a nice routine.
It made me laugh though because I was like, man, these weebs, they're everywhere.
That's right.
Even in Russia. Russian
right.
weebs.
Funny. Well, you know, there's Western weebs in Japan.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I don't know what the hell they're called. I don't know what you would call them.
Yeah.
But they're like, they're like Hideo Kojima. He's a Western weeb.
I'll come Super American Cowboys.
Yeah, Hideo Kojima is super
America.
Into Western shit. He's like.
Super Cowboy American.
Super Cowboy American.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. So, Steve, until next time.
The Knight of Shrouds has bartered his soul in exchange for generalship of a powerful undead host. He brings the word of Nagash to those who resist him.
Keldrick.
Game Classy.